Thank you very much. I want to recognize those who helped us Friday with a block party. That was awesome. Yes. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. I knocked the door that day. We visited that neighborhood, and the lady came and says, I can't go right now because I am just coming from my job, and I'm very tired. But let me say this. I'm so grateful to what you are doing, the church is doing, for the community. Okay? Praise the Lord. Good. Good time. Okay. People come, people go. After 30 years, you listen, Steve and Debbie, they are moving to Texas. 3 years ago, I moved to the Shenandoah Valley, to the mountains, to the mountains, to the valley. Ah, you feel proud, eh? Yeah, 3 years ago in August. And that was the good decision for my wife, for me, for my family to be here and to be in this body of Christ. I love it. I love it. Okay, Galatians is the last chapter, chapter 6. And I take the decision to use this picture and learning from the teacher, learning from the master. And many scholars, many studios have said that about the letter of Galatians, this is the Magna Carta of the spiritual freedom. Others have called it is the Declaration of Independence of Christians. And I like that. I like that. And someone says the book of the letter of Galatians is like a shining sword. You understand? The shining sword, because it's so direct. Paul is no, he is a direct man. He, what he wants to say, he say it. He don't have any problem with that. Martin Luther was tremendously shocked when he read a commentary of this letter. And he discovered through this commentary grace, freedom, faith. In contrast with works, deeds, or if you know this, payment of indulgence, very common at that time. There was just one church, the Catholic, the Universal Church. And if you want to go to heaven at that time, you pay for that. Very interesting. Very simple. $20 and you get the ticket. Go to heaven and everything is fine. When he read this commentary, he found, there is something more here. He found freedom, the grace. I don't need to do nothing. It's for free. It's for free for us. Thank God for Martin Luther, because this is the reason, because we are here after 500 years. This man says, no way, Jose. This is different. The Bible says something different. The message of Galatians is a message of liberty. It is the message of freedom. It is the message of release from bondage of legalism. Brother, sister, human being, we love to be legalist. We love that. We don't obey it. But we love. Who is driving 70 miles in 81? Just 70 miles. Who? Raise your hand. No one. We love the law, but we don't obey the law. But if others are doing that, oh my gosh, what's it? We are very, you know, legalistic. In the body of Christ, we have a lot of this. You know that in some churches, I can be in the front preaching in this way. I can do it. You know, women need to be with the long hair. Don't do that. If we pray, we need to. And every prayer, everybody pray this exactly the same thing. Oh, Lord Almighty. And three guys more. Oh, Lord Almighty. Ah. The same thing, legalism. And the whole book comes across like a spiritual dynamite. It is doctrinal, intensely doctrinal. It is historic. It is practical. It's powerful. And something more, it is absolutely relevant today. It's for us. It's for such a time like this one that we have this letter. What are the facts that we know from this letter? We know that Paul and Barnabas planted these churches. We believe, and everybody says yes, that Paul wrote this letter and it's his first letter. It is the first document in the New Testament. Paul wrote this. It is the only letter that addresses a region. All the other was for a specific church. This one was from an area so big, like right now is Turkey. The first believers came from paganism. I love this part, this past, that we can find Paul like an incredible, profound, spiritual leader. But we found, too, the human being. And the human being, you can see in the book of Galatians, he many times, he's hunger. He's very upset with the people of Galatians. He says, you are foolish. Another version says, you are idiot. Idiot? Idiot. You are idiot. You are tontos. You are muy tontos. Even when Jesus says in one of the gospel, don't call anyone foolish. But what happened with Paul? Why he feel, I'm free to say to them, you are foolish. Because he's like a father. He planted this church. He's the spiritual leader of these churches. And what happened with them? They want to follow the law. They want to be a slave again. And he was so angry, frustrated, that even he says in a moment, looks to me that I worked in vain with you. I love that. I love to see, because we, all of us, we are human beings. If you think because I am a pastor, sometimes I'm not upset, sometimes I don't feel disappointed. No, sometimes I feel it. Exactly like Paul says in this letter. Some people think that the Apostle Paul was only spiritual. No, he was spiritual, deep spiritual. He loved the Lord, but he was human too. And I found in this letter both sides. The first chapter of this book, we found Paul all the time tried to share with the church that he have authority. Because there was people pointing the finger saying, You are not coming from Jerusalem. We don't recognize your leadership. You don't have authority. And we found in the first chapter, Paul saying, I received this from Jesus. Okay? I received this from Jesus. This is the other fact. Another thing that called my attention about this book, that Paul was an extremely legalistic person before. Extremely. And now you found this man in the other side talking about freedom and fighting literally against the law that he lived for many, many years under the law. He didn't make nothing outside of the law. I don't say if someone speaks Spanish and English here can help me. Philip. Irreprensible.
Irreprehensible.
That he says about the law. That means he followed every single thing of the law. And now he is on the other side saying, you know what? I was a slave of that. And if you follow this, you can be a slave too. Be free of this. I love this thing. What did you learn in the past 8 weeks with this series?
Grace?
Yes. Grace. It's by grace. We don't need to do nothing. I grew up Catholic. Okay? My family was Catholic. Everything was, you need to do something. When I play my favorite team, Colo Colo, play it in Chile, I want that my team won. And I bought 3 candles and I bring to the church in order to touch the arm of God. Please. Please. I put fire and I leave. Later I recognized that doesn't work. But I did it. I did it. You know, but grace. It's by grace. I don't need to do nothing more. What more we learned in the last 8 weeks? Sorry?
Fruit.
Yeah. Interesting that when we talk about fruit, Paul is talking in singular. And when he talks about the flesh, it's in plural. Fruit, just one, but this fruit is very special that they have pa, 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 pa. 6 or 7 things together, one fruit. What more we learn? Okay, great. Something more?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. We learn a lot. This is an incredible book. It's an incredible letter. Now, we jump over Galatians 1 and 3. Galatians 6, 1 and 3. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall in the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Most of you maybe know that I love play football. I love play football. I recognize that I am a little competitive when I play. Thank God Merle is in the same team. We are very competitive. I want to win. If I play, I want to win. Okay? But very often, the reality says something different. Which is a good medicine for my pride and my vanity. And in this game, like in other games, you depend on your friends. You know? And at the same time, they depend on you. This season wasn't a good season for us. We make many mistakes. And that was the reason because we lost so many games. But you know what? Something I recognize in this team. We never stop it encouraging each another, We never. And even when someone did not score a goal, the group was still encouraging each other. I remember we was losing maybe 7-0 one day, and somebody kicked the ball. Think about the goalie is over there, and the ball was over here. And we, the team, says, yeah! Do it! Next time. Good intention. Good idea. But we encouraging one another. Broken believers need compassionate Christians who will come alongside in order to mend them. This process must be done with gentleness, which is a fruit of the Spirit. The person who mentioned the fruit of the Spirit, here is one. In some of Paul's letters, we can see that his tone is hard, harsh, confront head on. But we can also see the leader as a good father, talking sweetly to his children. For example, when he wrote in Romans 2:4, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? I love this passage. I can see the heart of this man is speaking so softly, so smooth, tan suave to my heart, that only just listen this word, I can recognize my sin. Even when this particular letter began in a rather strong tone, at this point, in the last chapter, Paul changes to tell the Galatians and tell us all how we should treat the brother who has fallen, how we must restore him or restore her. At this point, I cannot stop thinking about the passage of John 13, a unique event, a practical teaching, and a powerful example. Jesus takes a towel, a bowl of water, and washes the feet of his disciples and dries them with a towel. It is the only place that we found this is in the book of John. The verse 14 of John 13 says, "And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." Some churches have taken this verb very literal and had made a custom that has become a tradition: foot washing service. If this teaching of the Lord Jesus becomes only a ritual, it has lost its true meaning. In other words, do we understand the spiritual meaning of foot washing? I think most of the Lord's followers today do not know what this means, or why did Jesus do this? First, Jesus was not teaching a tradition. Its meaning is much more than a mere ritual. The spiritual meaning of this physical act reveals the humility of Jesus. We must remember that those who were responsible for washing the feet of those who arise were servants or slaves. The lower ranked people in the house, there was in charge of this. In this case, Jesus took the lowest place to teach us how to be humble and be willing to perform even the most unpleasant task for the brethren and mankind. That was part of his teaching, but there is much more. And I hope, with the grace of the Lord, can explain clearly to you this morning. For me, it has to do with the act of taking the towel. Have you know the expression, "I throw the towel"? You know what means that. I give up. I'm so tired. I don't want nothing more to do with this person. Throw the towel. Jesus don't throw the towel. He take the towel. He take the towel. For me, it's that. Take the towel. Decide with the heart. Be available. This is what I must do. One of the profound teaching of this passage is love, submission, and the power to help the brother. Galatians 6:1 says this: "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." In my own words, it is helping the brothers to restore him or her. The washing of feet, in its deepest spiritual meaning, has to do with our attitude about the dirt that we see in our brother or sister. Then I ask you, what do you do when you are face to face with someone who has fallen into sin or transgression? What do you do with the dirt of your brother or sister has to do with the ministry that Jesus describes as taking the towel. It is totally related to what is to serve others in love and to submit to others in the fear of God. Let us be clear. Let us be honest. Within the body of Christ, the church, There are believers who like to make notice of others, other fields, even going so far as to be cruel, judging, criticize, murmuring, accusing, point the finger, talk to others about the sin of the brother or the sister. At an evangelistic event, I meet a brother who had been pastor of a church south of Denver. He told me his story. He has sinned, committed a moral transgression. He believed that he should confess into his leaders in order to seek forgiveness and help. This was an evangelistic campaign in a park in the east side of Denver, Colorado. When he was sharing with me about his story, I looked at this man and I felt in my spirit, this is a good man. He made a mistake, like many others, like me. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. He committed a sin, but he loves the Lord. His heart did not harden with sin. So he did not hide his fault. He saw help to be restored. For that reason, he talked to the elders of and leaders of his church. Unfortunately, he did not receive what he hoped, to confess sin. Those who claimed to be his best friend in the church abandoned him. Those who say that love him ignore him. The leader asked him to make his sin publicly known to the church, his wife, his children, and his parents in the front of the church. All were humiliated. It was as if they were suffering from a contagious disease. One of my best friends, pastor, musician, a worship leader, took the towel and encouraged this man. He told him that God was not yet finished with him. He says that when he asked to the Lord for forgiveness, when he wept before him, the Lord heard his prayer. He saw his sincere crying. The same pastor, this pastor, musician, worship leader, he helped me in the moment of anger and frustration. I suffered this when the man who was to marry my daughter canceled the wedding 1 week before getting married. My oldest daughter had everything ready for the wedding. Everything, flowers, food, the place, the DJ, the photographer, the dress, everything. And 1 week before, this man says, I'm not going to marry you. I was so frustrated. I was so angry. The only thing that I want was go to the place of this man and beat him. By the way, it's biblical. It's much better give than receive. I was so angry, so frustrated. He helped me. This pastor helped me. He sit with me in front of me, and I open my heart and I say, Jude, brother, I feel in this way. And he take the towel, the water, and say, Pepe, he washed my feet. He washed my anger, my frustration. And he put me again in the right path. Praise the Lord for Jude. Dear brothers, taking the towel is an action of commitment. It means doing everything in our power to clean the dirt from our brother's, our sister's feet. It means to say, I am committed to helping you clean your dirt, to restore your reputation, your family, and do everything to keep you alive in Christ. The pastor who had committed sin was sit that day in front of me, tell me his story. He left the church. After a while, another church welcomed him. And that day, in that evangelistic event, he was with his new flock, bringing the word of God to the lost, completely restored. The scripture clearly states that when a brother or sister has fallen into sin, we must restore that person, serving him in love, subjecting that person to the fear of God. However, the question remains, how do we do this? We are to take the towel of God, forgiveness, and go to the one who is hurt in Jesus' love. We have to subdue all our human inclination to ignore him, judge him, expose him, lecture him, and find flaws in him or her. Instead, we must commit to being his friends, her friend. We must help wash away their sins by sharing the correction and healing in the comforting word of God. This is not to overlook or contemplate sin, nor call the bad good. We are talking about fallen saints who have repentant hearts, who are still hopeless. They know that they have offended the Lord and live with fear, guilt, and rejection. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. After months after the rejection of this man to my daughter, one day I was praying and the Lord says to me, Pepe, how I can listen your prayer if you still have in your heart something against this man? And I was so difficult to, you know, when God says something, it's so difficult to say, no, you are wrong, and I don't have nothing in my heart. I'm okay. I love the man. No, it's impossible to hide us from the Lord. He says, you need to go and talk to this man. And that was very difficult. Because I recognized that I still have something in my heart. And the next days pass, the weeks pass, and the Lord was saying, I'm not going to listen to you until you go and talk to this man. And well, finally, I went to the place. I knocked the door. No one responded. I come back and I say, well, I did it. I obeyed you. And the Lord says, no, Pepe. No, he's no joking you. You need to go and talk with this man. And I knocked the door several times until one day the door was open and this man was in front of me. And I say to him, you hurt my life. You hurt my heart. But I forgive you. I forgive you. And I don't have nothing in my heart against you. Nothing. You are free. You are free. If you think that you have something with Chavi, my wife, and me, let me tell you, I don't have nothing. He gave me a hug. I gave him a hug. We cry a little bit together. And I say, may God bless you. And I leave the place. And when I leave the place, I was like walking over clouds. I did it. If you want to be tender-hearted, take the towel to restore a brother or a sister. You don't need to know the detail of how that person got dirty. Jesus didn't ask to the disciple, how come you have so dirty? He didn't say nothing like that. There was clean. But they have one small part of the body was unclean. Let me call your attention about this. With this expression of love, humility, compassionate, he washed the feet of Judas that day. He did it. He only wanted to carry out his cleaning in removing the dirt from them. His love for them was unconditional. And his love for us is the same, unconditional. We don't need to put the finger about other. That other need to be restored. And talking about football, the real football, okay? No, the football that you play with hand. No. Football. Football. The ball is in our side. How we are going to play this game? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. In the first service, Tom Watson came to me and he says, you know what? There is some expression very hard about the body of Christ, and I agree with that. Have you heard the expression, the only army who kill their soldiers are the Christian? It's hard to just listen that. But many times it's true. We need to learn. And we need to learn now to love one another and recognize our sin and confess one another and help one another. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place, in this sanctuary, Lord. Thank you because your word is so clear. Help us, Lord, to learn more and more to be like Jesus, to grow more and more like him. This is the time for us to decrease and him grow in us. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If someone needs a prayer, please, the team, how you call the team? The ministry. Los del Ministerio. Ministry team, please. Come forward. And if you need any prayer, anything, please come. This brother is going to help you. If you recognize there is some dirt in your life, this is the time. The water and the towel is ready. Amen. Have a wonderful week. May God bless you. Enjoy the rest of the summer. Amen. Amen. Amen.